Touch of hands so kind and tender, they're leading me in paths that I must run. I have no fear when Jesus is beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storm rage high, the dark clouds rise, they don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must run. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storm rage high, the dark clouds rise, they don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth may harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Would you open the Word of God tonight to the book of Revelation, and we'll begin in chapter 4. We will not be there long, but we want to start there, and we want to kind of finish up a little bit what I wanted to kind of end with this morning. And I hope and pray one of the emphasis that I hope took place in your life is that looking at the two keys of the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 19, and chapter 4, verse 1, will at least give you some insight on some of the things that are pressing today that people are confused about. Plus, I wanted it to help you, to motivate you to understand that the book of Revelation does not have to be daunting. And what I mean by that is, you're not going to understand everything through chapter 4 till the end of the book. You're not going to understand it all. But that doesn't scare me at all. But here's what I do understand, and this is what I wanted to get across to you this morning. It really doesn't matter what happens down here on earth after chapter 4, because we ain't going to be here. That's the one thing I do know. But it should motivate us that we do our very best, because we do not want one person that we know or love, or even we say someone that would be someone that's godless. We don't want anyone to have to be left behind and go through the tribulation. We don't want anyone to be left behind. And we have an open door. We have an opportunity to reach people for the Lord. And so we need to get busy. It ought to motivate us. But because of the day we live in, there's a lot of people, they honestly think, they're saying that we're in the middle of the tribulation. We are not in the middle of the tribulation. The tribulation period will happen after the rapture of the church, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Now, let me speak to you a moment, and then I'm going to deal. We're going to quickly go up, get up to chapter 13. And we might do a study on this in the near future, but I'm dealing with two subjects because these are the two subjects that I have been dealing with in the last couple of weeks, more so than any other subject. I've heard a lot of talk about the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast, but we've got to take care of the chronological order of all of these things and to understand for the Christian, these are not things we are to fear. These are again things to motivate us because in chapter 4, verse 1, that interpretation of that verse gives us the chronological order for everything that takes place in the rest of the book. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was at it as if it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Notice verse 2. And immediately, I love that. Y'all like that? That kind of sounds like in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And in a moment, and immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Who do you think that one is? And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now we realize the moment that the church, the saved people, and I say the church, it's not a building, it's not an address, it is a group of people that have been washed in the blood of the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. They have trusted Christ their Savior. Every believer in the world, not just America, in the world will be raptured and they will immediately be caught up into heaven to be with the Lord forever. And then we see that in Revelation chapter 4, and you continue to read there through chapter 4, and then you notice chapter 5. This is all scenes of what's going on in heaven after the rapture. Then when you go to chapter 6, you realize now he takes this revelation and he puts the spotlight back down here on the world. So again, in chapter 4, Christians are up in heaven and we see a little scene of that of taking place. The book is open, the throne is explained, the Savior is shown sovereign, and then he puts a spotlight in chapter 6 back down on the earth again and what's taking place with no Christians there. So I want to say to you, and I want to bring this out, when we talk about when the departing of the saints take place, I want you to just focus your mind a moment on the despair of the world. I want everyone to listen to me well. I love the Lord. I really do try to guard my life, and I try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, but I do understand that old wretched man that I am, and I do understand that I could make a decision tomorrow that could ruin my life. I don't have that desire. And there's only one thing keeping me from doing that, and there's only one thing restraining me from my flesh completely doing whatever it wills or chooses. It's the Holy Spirit of God. So you take the Holy Spirit out of my life, and I can promise you, I'm already wicked, but I have no restraints to be wicked. Now, I want you to think that in a larger scale. When all the light, when every Christian around the world is removed from this already wicked society, when the salt is taken out of this world, there'll be no preservation. When the light is taken out and the light of the world is in us through the Holy Spirit of God, when the Christians are gone around the world, listen to me. No restraint. You talking about every evil thing imaginable will take place because there'll be no restraint. There'll be no gospel. There'll be no truth. There'll be no light. Now, we understand later on, we'll deal with that later, but there will be some witness. There'll be a witness. We'll talk about that. But I'm telling you right now, the despair of the world will be like nothing we see. Listen, I know we're dealing with some things now, but listen to me. We haven't seen nothing. They haven't seen nothing yet. There's still Christians and light and salt and restraint. Do you remember when I told you the other day that there are 47 votes in our U.S. Senate right now to censor churches? 47 votes. That's not too many from the majority, right? Thank God the majority don't want to do it. Somebody say amen. That's why it's important you get out and vote. There's restraint there. There's still some conservative people up in Washington that understand, and one of the ones that I really like is a representative down in Louisiana. He's a good, strong Christian man, Mr. Johnson. I even sent him a message the other day. I know he's not my representative, but I just want to let him know, man, I'm praying for you. Thank God for you. I give you name after name after name. By the way, I'm one of those crazy people that actually sat and watched the committee hearings. And the reason I do that is because I want to understand what's going on up in Washington, because I thank God that there's still some light in Washington. But if you remove all that light, listen to me, Katie, bar the door. Consider the rise of sin and wickedness when the Spirit departs. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." They'll be taken out of the way. We will be taken out of the way. And you watch out. No restraint. Every evil imagination of a man's heart will be acted upon with no restraints and no consequences. There is already a spirit of Antichrist today. Someone has this idea about the Antichrist. It's a person. Listen at me. It is an attitude and a spirit. Yes, it will obviously come true and it will visualize itself in a man. And obviously, he's going to be anti. Have you ever thought of the word antichrist? That means something other than Christ. There is an antichrist spirit already today. So wise Christians, we should be wise. We should be wise in these days. We should be understanding. And why the attack on churches? Why the censoring on churches? Why is nobody having a problem with people rioting in cities and streets and tearing things down, but yet they, you know, and praise God, I want to just say, boy, John MacArthur encouraged me today. Somebody sent it to me, Miss Kelsey said, I loved it, man. He had church today. Somebody say amen. And he said, well, welcome to Grace Bible Church's peaceful protest. Why is it okay to go stand in line at Walmart for 40 minutes? And we rub shoulders with everybody at work and everything, but why all of a sudden? And by the way, I have no problem with what we did. None. I'd do it again. Well, I don't know if I'll do it again. But I would have done that again. But I'm going to be honest with you, church. This has been going on a long time. So I think now people are starting to get a little worried and scared because they think, oh, listen to me. Do you understand the media has been brainwashing people for years? I've done some study on that. You know when it started? After World War II. I'm going to give y'all something. This is going to shock you. But do you understand that many of the Nazi regime scientists were brought here to this country after World War II? Did you know that? Do you know why they were brought here? They started working with our CIA. Do you know what they started doing? They started realizing Hollywood and media and movies would start to dictate the thoughts and the actions of the people that watch it and hear it. Can I help you? Every movie you've ever watched and you think, man, you think that really could be true? Look at me. It's happened somewhere. Those thoughts and ideas just don't come out of somewhere. I'm telling you, there is an anti-Christ spirit. Why is Christians the problems in the world? Why am I a hate monger just because I disagree with you? I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not burning no buildings down. I'm not beating nobody up. I just disagree with your lifestyle of sin. Why is that such a hate crime? I mean, I don't know of any Christian that I know and love that goes to churches like ours that are going out and hurting anyone. So why such hate? An anti against the church. We're the problem. Man, last thing, my brother Don, I didn't know you was a bad guy. I mean, I'm not scared of a fundamental Christian. You ever thought about a fundamental Christian? Brother Larry, a fundamental Christian, he forgives. A fundamental Christian turns their cheek. A fundamental Christian prays for their enemies. But just because a fundamental Christian disagrees with your lifestyle, and it's not just because he wants to say you're wrong and I'm right. Here's the reason: we know what sin does. And we know what that sin leads to. So really, our opposition is not towards the person, but it's because of the future of that person getting involved in sin. We're so misunderstood. You think that's just not understood? You think that's a mistake? You think it's just a coincidence? No, look at me. The Antichrist has to get it all set up. And by the way, let me just say this. This stuff's been going on for years. And I want you to know something. The things that are being played out now, taking place in our world, has been supplanted many, many years before now. Why? And you say, well, I wonder when the Antichrist. I don't know when he's going to come. And I'm going to be honest. It doesn't matter to me because I'm going to be in heaven. Somebody say amen. But at the same time, I am concerned about the Antichrist spirit that we're seeing. And look at me. It's growing. By the way, we learned so much from history. Think about Hitler a minute. He was a Nazi. He was an evil man. I personally believe he was controlled and empowered by Satan himself. I really do. I believe a lot of very influential people in our world and in our country is influenced and empowered by Satan. He has an we know that the devil is anti-God. Nazi Hitler. What had to take place in Nazi Hitler for a man to step on the scene and promise them economic power and get them out of the dust and the rubbish of war and out of the Peace of Versailles and all of that mess that went on? What had to happen? Well, a savior had to come. And I'm going to be honest with you, many of the people, when Hitler came to power, they thought he was going to be the savior of Germany. You do a study on this. Here's what's amazing. There were only, and really, I'm just going to be honest with you, there were only, that we know, that I've found, only two preachers that opposed him. Two. What happened? He had to silence biblical Christianity to murder over 6 million Jews. Where was the outcry? Where was the church? Can I help you? One of the first things Adolf Hitler did is he got a minister of propaganda. Because he knew that if he could control the minds of the people and the minds of the children, that he could get them to do basically whatever he wanted. Are y'all with me? And by the way, those two preachers, I encourage you to read the biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Very early on, he realized what and who. He never supported Hitler. And he stand in opposition, and by the way, Bonhoeffer was killed. Violently murdered by Nazi henchmen. The other preacher that I mentioned, And right now I'm losing his name. He was imprisoned very early on, and then he was killed, tortured and killed. Why? Because he opposed that he knew something was going on that was not true to biblical Christianity. And look, he had to be silenced. Why? Because these two men were anti-Hitler. They were for God, and so they had to be exterminated because Hitler was anti-God. We have that spirit here today, church, in this country. So I bring all that up to say this. If we continue to go through the book, chapter 4, if you'll notice, chapter 1 through 3, we see the scene in heaven. We're at the throne. We understand in chapter 6, we go back to the spotlight of back on earth during, while we're, the Christian have been raptured, they're in heaven. But in chapter 6, we see that the spotlight comes back down on earth, and we see that there the six seal judgments are introduced here. This is going on in earth while the saved are in heaven. The seal judgments, which include, and not limited to this, but you can read it for yourself in chapter 6, it includes war, violence, famine, death, destruction, horrors. Chapter 8 through chapter 9, we're going to read and find out about the trumpet judgments. That's going to include war, violence, famine, or actually storms, destruction, sea becomes blood, the death of the marine life, ships are destroyed, tainted water that kills many people, darkness of nights, longer nights, most of the lights and the stars and the moon is loses its power, mankind is slaughtered in chapter 9 on earth during the tribulation period. Read them for yourself in chapter 8 and chapter 9. Chapter 12, we find that there is a war on earth. There is a major war on earth. And then in chapter 12, we find the transition spotlights. Actually, no. Let me go back to something there. In chapter 12, we find that the spotlight goes back up to heaven for a while. And this is interesting to me because in chapter 12, verse number 7, we see there's a war in heaven. So it shifts its spotlight from the earth to all of the tribulation period that's going on. And then it goes back up to heaven. And notice verse 7 of chapter 12. And there was war in heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. You know who the dragon is? That's the devil. There was a literal war. There's going to be a literal battle. Notice what it says, thank God. And the dragon fought and his angels. Y'all like verse 8? And prevailed not. In other words, he got whooped. Amen. Let's just use old West Virginia lingo there. Can y'all hang with me in Tennessee? He got whooped. That means he got a whooping. And he not only got a whooping, but notice what happened. He got whooped and got kicked out and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angel were cast out with him. So we see it's shifting from earth to heaven, earth to heaven. Now again, we shift back. In chapter 13, now we go back to earth. Now here's what's interesting about chapter 13. It introduces us to the Antichrist. That's when he steps on the scene. And so when you read this, it's interesting. We also find in chapter 13, verse 16, we find the mark of the beast. Now I want to just say this, then we're going to talk a little bit about the mark of the beast. I want everybody to know, now everybody learned in school, 1, 2, 3, 4. Miss Kaylee is a kindergarten teacher. Miss Kaylee, let me ask you. You help me here a little bit. What comes after 4? 5. What comes after 5? What comes after 6? What comes after 7? What comes after 8? What comes after 9? What comes after 10? What comes after 11? What comes after 12? Now, y'all tell me, that took a while to get from 4 to 13, didn't it? Y'all with me? Are y'all with me yet? 13 comes a whole long after 4. So is this vaccine the mark of the beast? Look at me. No. Unless the Lord's going to rapture us between now and they get it done. I mean, it's possible. But if it comes, hey, look here, let me just tell y'all this. If it is the mark of the beast, ain't one of y'all going to take it. If you're saved, somebody say amen. And what that means is, obviously, if you're still here and this vaccine is available, look at me. Let's just do the math. It ain't it. It's not it. So let's do away with it. Now, let me just share something with you. I probably won't take the vaccine at right now. And the reason being is I'm not scared of a chip, but I am afraid what they're going to put in it. I wouldn't use the word afraid, but I mean, you know, we'll just wait and see. But it's not because that I'm worried that they're going to put some chip in this, you know, in whatever. I'm telling you. But look, how many of y'all are a born-again Christian? How many of y'all know the Lord? Would y'all raise your hand? Then look at me. You will not be here for the mark of the beast. You hear me? You will not. Simple math. Kaylee's a kindergarten teacher. She did well. But there's a long ways from 4 to 30. Now, let me tell you why I'm saying that. I had a gentleman call me, and I love him. He called me the other day. We were talking. He said, Brother Mark, can I just talk to me? I said, sure. He said, will you just kind of help me here a minute? He said, I'm getting off kilter with all these people. He hasn't gotten off kilter, but he said, I'm getting a little bugged by hearing people say that stuff's going to be the mark of the beast. He said, Pastor Mark, you still believe in the pre-trib of the rapture of Christ? You believe we're going to get raptured up before the tribulation? I said, yes. He said, well, praise God. I'm glad to hear it. And then he said, I'm going to tell you right now, all this business about this vaccine, he said, people are all upset and worried about it, think it's going to be a mark. He said, you tell me, and here's what he said. He sent me back a little bit, Larry Stetch. He said, you know what would be a good title for a sermon? 4 comes before 13. So I brought all that up just to say, look at me, church. 4 is a long ways from 13. And y'all do remember, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, come up hither. We're gone. That's so important. Chapter 1, verse 19 is the key of the verse. Write down. I want you to write down what? The things that you've seen, the things which are, and the things will be hereafter. It's hereafter. Chapter 4 begins the hereafter. So everything from chapter 4 until we get to this, and I want to deal with the mark of the beast tonight quickly. This is a portion of Scripture, so if you would turn there, chapter 13 of Revelation, let's begin reading with verse 16. This is where, we can look at 15. He's talking about the false prophet. We're introduced to the Antichrist. We're introduced to his prophet. And look at verse 15 of chapter 13. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause it. As many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You get that? And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now listen to me. How many of you believe the Word of God, every word is chosen of God and divinely inspired of God? Then there's only going to be two places that this mark is going to be. Let's take what God says instead of what everybody's running around saying. We're not going to get off kilter here, church. We're going to stay with God. This is His plan. It ain't some man's plan. It ain't some other fringe guy that don't even know the Bible. And that no man, the Bible says, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now the perfect number is 7. That's the number of God. And of course, man number is 6. But I want you to understand something. And again, this mark will be taking place on people that left here on earth. The Christians are already gone. Y'all understand that, right? So tonight, we're dealing with a portion of Scripture that has produced much intrigue, much mystery, debate. Mankind has been fascinated with the mark of the beast. Also, they've been fearful of it for the mark of the beast. But the explanations are varied, and the possibilities seem endless. But there, however, is enough information right here in these few verses that we do know. So let's stay with what we do know so we can help people. And here's the reason we want to help people. We don't want people to be left behind. We want them to trust Jesus before the rapture takes place. And they have the opportunity to be saved today. So there's, however, enough information here. Let's see what's revealed. Number one, notice the prominence of the mark. I want you to look at the first verse when he mentions of this mark, and he causeth all. Now, I first want to say this, and he causeth all. That's very important. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. There will come a day when all speculation will end of the mark. Is it really going to happen? It's going to happen. This isn't just a legend or a fairy tale. It's not just a script for a Hollywood horror film. During the tribulation, the mark will be worldwide on people. And I want you to notice, number one, the requirement for the mark. It will not be a choice. I want you to notice the wording. Verse 16, and he causeth. You know what that word causeth means? That means simply that he absolutely, and I've got it wrote down here, it will not be a choice, and here's what it means. It's to force someone to do something. Will not have a choice. They either choose, they will be forced to take it, or they will die. This won't be a mark of choice, but one that is mandated by Satan, and it will be promoted by the Antichrist. So I want you to understand that there is a requirement. It's not one of choice. I want to say something quickly here. That's why, as Christians, we have to be careful. And by the way, we need to be law-abiding citizens. But church, if you think that this stuff that's going on today about all of these mandates, and by the way, I'm going to be a law-abiding citizen to a point, but if you do not think that this has not also been trying to usher in this idea and this ideology of being forced, look at me. It is. It is. Now, we don't have to be, but I'm just telling you, don't be blind. Don't be unwise. You say, oh, that can't happen. Look at me. The devil is the prince and the peace. He is the prince of this world. It will not be a mark of choice. I think that's interesting, and I think every wise Christian will take note of that. Number two, the recipient of the mark. I want you to notice something. It says both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, will be forced to receive this mark. By the way, here's what's amazing. This is a universal mark. Now, if you will pay attention to what's going on in the world today, you think about someone that's a globalist. You know, we're talking about a one world order. We're wanting a one world currency. Look at me. All of this, people's got to be prepared, and I hate to use the word brainwashed, but people have to be programmed to understand. You ever notice when you get in a dark room? When you first get in the dark room, man, the darkness is glaring. But the longer you're there, the more you're just kind of there, and you're just kind of keep getting it injected. You know, you're just kind of there. You know, it's just kind of there. It's just kind of there. You know what? It's easier to swallow. It's a universal mark, not just for Americans. He wants world. He will control the world. Both small and great. I'm telling you right now, they will bear the mark of the beast all around, from the rainforests of South America to the penthouses of Los Angeles, California. There will be people that will bear this mark. The recipient. It's likely that many will be deceived as they receive the mark. There's no doubt about that. They'll believe that it will bring the end of poverty and the needs of the people. The world will stand united. They'll be bearing this beast mark. Those who receive it will pledge their allegiance, worship the Antichrist. Some will do it ignorantly. So the prominence of the mark. Number two, quickly, the placement of the mark. Look at the second part of the verse. And he calls with all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, where? In their right hand or in their left forehead. So there you go. It's going to be either in their hand or their forehead. And by the way, specifically the right hand. Now we find that this mark will either be placed in the right hand or on the forehead. The word mark means this, a stamp or an imprinted mark. It's going to be a permanent mark. Placed on the flesh of those who receive it. This mark will quickly identify their status as followers of the Antichrist. Now's probably a pretty good time maybe to discuss the possibilities of this mark. And again, these are just possibilities. Some, I've heard, believe that it could be some sort of a tattoo or a barcode put on someone's body. And by the way, we are living in a day where that is becoming so increasingly more popular today. Might be the barcode or some type of a tattoo that's imprinted on the skin and that's scanned. And this is certainly a possibility because with the technology that we have today, there are currently security measures that scan fingerprints and retinas of the eye to gain access to high sensitive secure areas. By the way, I can't even get on my phone until it sees my face. Somebody say amen. I don't guess it sees me. Come on. I just don't think it could be. Well, I never dreamed I'd have a little phone up here that I can, I never imagined. Boy, this has been good when me and you were courting, honey. We actually could have seen each other while we were dating and not had to write them old snail mails. Amen? Hey, I've heard some suggest it might possibly be a credit card of sorts. By the way, we're seeing more of their use on a global scale. Here's what's amazing. I've seen people all around in different places here in Tennessee. We have no change. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I don't carry a whole lot of cash. Y'all know what I do. I slide a card. Never dreamed of that 25 years ago. It's part of our life now, isn't it? The use of paper currency is becoming a thing of the past. It's looking like in the near future that money as we know it will cease to exist. Paychecks will all be electronically transferred and purchase will be transacted in the same manner. That's already happening. So you say, is this all wrong? No, I'm just telling you, the technology's there. All right, here's another possibility we've all heard. What about them microchips? About the size of a grain of rice. Tiny devices can store a wealth of information, can be placed painlessly under the skin. These little chips have the ability to store all personal information, financial transactions, medical records, social security numbers. They are already being placed in pets. And you know what they're wanting to put them in? Alzheimer's disease patients and babies. I understand. Nobody wants to lose their child, right? And Alzheimer's patients, we don't want them wandering out in the street. But it is interesting, isn't it? So the prominence of the mark, the place of the mark, and then quickly the purpose of the mark. Look at verse 17. This is what's powerful. And that no man might buy or sell save he that have the mark. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Listen to me. The mark of this beast, this Antichrist, will be promoted as a means to secure the welfare of mankind. You know why I'm opposed to a very large government? I'm going to tell you why I'm opposed to it. I don't like control in things that I have enough sense to choose for myself. We got a bunch of folks around here, and we need to train them better. We need to teach them. We need to talk to them. They don't need to want to accept a handout. They got to work for it and quit thinking that everybody else is supposed to take care of them. And let somebody else provide all their needs. By the way, if I'm going to lose my freedom for the state to give me health care, then take your health care. If you're going to promise me to protect me, but I got to give up my gun, look at me. I'll keep my gun, thank you, because I know how I'll use it. I ain't going to protect. I don't want it. So look, government's there to help me, but listen to me. I want you to know something. And see, church, y'all think sometimes, oh, he's just getting political. No, I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. There's agendas to all of this. It's shown right here in the Bible. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to understand. This is what the Antichrist wants, is complete control and power. Complete control and power. You can't even go buy a piece of bread. You can't even go to the gas station. You wouldn't even be able to do anything to take care of your family unless you take. And again, it's not for us. The Christians are already gone. But these are the people that's going to be left on earth. Think about it. The world will believe that this mark will ensure all men the rights and the provisions needed to survive. It will appear that all will have equal access to the basic needs. Let me just say this. I love capitalism. I believe if a man owns a piece of property, he owns it and not everybody else does. Equal rights. I'm for equal rights, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If a man earned his million, then he ought to be able to spend his million. But let me tell you something now. Let me tell you, church, and I know y'all might think, I do get passionate about this thing. Because I see what's going on. I've seen it for a long time, and I know many of you have too. It's just not popped up today. This has been going on for years. Precursors. Let me tell you what the Antichrist. And by the way, let me just say this. Very true. These people were deceived because they knew their welfare had to be taken care of. They had to be able to eat. Their basic man. They were depending on a man to make sure all of their needs were taken care of. Now listen. That's what they thought. He was just being a good man. But listen to me. Here's what the Antichrist motive is. And this is what most people that want complete, that's doing things today in our country, I'm going to tell you what their motive is. They want complete control and power. The Antichrist has a much different motive for this mark. He desires to control the world. And he will. It will be his mark that brings about universal control. Let me give you quickly a couple of things he's going to control. Number one, he will control the economy. We find that no man can buy or sell without the mark. He will have ultimate control of the amount of goods that people buy. They won't be able to make a single purchase without the mark. He will be able to control the amount of goods that are sold. Why? The Bible says, and that no man might buy or sell save that they have the mark or name of the beast. They won't be able to make a single purchase without the mark. He will be able to control the amount of goods that are sold. Under this type of system, he will be able to regulate the profit margins of corporations and businesses. He will be able to limit the amount of money and influence that men have. Consider the idea of anywhere you go to buy or sell requiring a mark. You couldn't go fill up your gas tank. You couldn't go in a restaurant. You couldn't go even buy clothes for your children without the mark. You couldn't sell anything in a public market without the mark. People won't be admitted to the hospital or receive medical treatment without the mark. I see a lot of things going on today. There's a lot of things you can't do without certain mandates today. Every aspect of the global economy will be controlled by the Antichrist through his marking system. It will take a lot of faith and a strong will to resist the mark. When you hear a lot of things about economy today, every child needs to know a good, basic, capitalistic principle versus a socialistic principle. We failed in teaching our children this. He will control society. Look at verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell save that he have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Can you begin to imagine the power that this will give the Antichrist? When he sets up control over the economy, over all the food, over all the clothing, over all the energy sources, over all the utilities, all over all the medical care and so forth, he will gain absolute control over society. He will be in control of everything that people need to survive. Their physical existence will literally depend upon his mark. There are going to be only two options for people that are left behind. Receive the mark or be killed. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're a lost person, you've been blinded by some Because by the way, the Bible says there'll be there'll be something given to them that they will believe. They'll believe a lie. If you as a mom that love your children, I'm going to tell you right now, without any wisdom and any help from God and having faith in the true Lord, I'm going to tell you what people are going to do. They're going to feed their babies. They're going to feed their babies. So church, the reason I bring all this up, we've got to get busy. Everybody's scared to death. We ought to be teaching people and telling. We ought to have more visitors today than we've ever had. Come September, we ought to get people and do our very best to be talking about the Lord. We ought to be doing our best to be praying for people. Brother Jimmy, I was convicted yesterday. He said something to me. So I tell you what I'm doing. I'm still praying over my list at Sunday school. I'm going to be honest. If I was lost during this day, and I heard a message like I heard this morning, and hey, don't leave the building. If you're online, don't not miss trusting Christ as your Savior. I'm going to be honest. It's like I sometimes, where's the fear? I mean, that's all we've heard for 4 months is we're afraid. But can I help everybody? There's some things to be more afraid of than death. The second death. Eternal death. Are you beginning to see the persuasive influence that the Antichrist will have on society? If people desire to live, and we all do, they will have to accept the mark, no exceptions. Once they receive the mark, they have eternally identified themselves with Satan and Antichrist. And I want to just say this as I close. Aren't we glad that Jesus offers mercy and grace? Anti of whatever Antichrist stands for. I thank God we have the Lord Jesus Christ that offers us mercy and grace rather than total dominance. Someone says, you bunch of Christians, y'all bound up in a bunch of rules. Look at me, I'm as free as a bird. Y'all know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to go to bed tonight. Now, I've got some things I'm burdening. I'm going to burden them. I didn't sleep real good last night. I'm burdening some things. But I'm going to tell you, on a normal basis, I'm going to tell you what I do. My head hits the pillow. And my wife, she says all the time, she said, I just don't understand how you do it. She's what? She said, Mark, I'm talking to you. You ain't laid in the bed 2 seconds. And you. I mean, I knew I hit it fast. I think that's a trait of our home. Kim, are you guilty too? Kim's guilty. I know Dad's guilty. Yeah, Mike's amen on that. And I know my dad's guilty because we go over there every Sunday afternoon and we're sitting there talking to him. He's still got a cup of coffee in his hand. And I mean, that cup, I don't even know how he still does. I mean, he's out. And we're all sitting there talking, laughing, joking. But I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to burden some things. Right now I'm burdening some things. I'm pilling some things just like you are. But I'm going to tell y'all something. I thank God I serve a God that has extended me grace. And he's not an old dictator. He is a loving God that works in my heart in such a way that he wants me to choose him. He doesn't make me choose him. Because if he made me choose him, it wouldn't be love. What a total difference from this old Antichrist. But you know what? The old Antichrist, whoever he is, and I'm just going to say this, I know this sounds bad. I don't care who he is. I have not given, and I told Brother Ray this morning, I have not spent 20 minutes of my lifetime, and I'm 46. I have not spent 20 minutes in 46 years trying to figure out who he is. You know why? I won't be here. And I hope and pray you won't either. But I hope and pray what this message will do tonight will light a fire under us that we will get burdened for every person that we know that we might not think is saved. And let's get busy. If you're out there listening tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, your Savior, don't be left behind. trust Christ tonight. And all of this that I talked about, you won't have to worry about it. You'll be up in heaven. This world is not my home. How about y'all stand up and sing it with me as we close? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray you'll move in our hearts. Help us. We're strengthened in your word. Lord, we do not have a worldly perspective. God, I pray you'll help us in our minds that we have a biblical perspective of what's going on in this world. Help us now. Encourage each one here. Help us to help others. And we'll thank you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. God bless you. Have a great night. Remember the